it's great to be back. It's a portfolio that I absolutely loved when I was previously in that role, and I think everyone's very, very pleased about the progress that we're going to make in agriculture and what we've done so far.
Well, that said, this is the third change in agriculture ministry since Labor won office. Is the industry being taken as seriously as it should be by the Palaszczuk government?
Well, Craig, the truth is that the policy settings that we took to last election is exactly what's guided the government through the first couple of years of our term. And as industry leaders know, we've delivered on many, many things that we committed to, and we're continuing to do that. And to see just a simple example, at the last budget we put forward, we put into place those stamp duty exemptions for family farms. That's something that's been industry has been seeking from governments of all persuasions for a considerable period. Now, that happened within our budgetary process with not a lot of fanfare, I might add, but you would understand that succession planning for family farms has been an issue, and we've taken direct steps to do the best we can to make sure that succession occurs easily as possible. Now, those are the sorts of things and many others that we've done in terms of drought assistance, wild dog funding, reviews of biosecurity.
But changes at the top in terms of who is Minister for Agriculture, doesn't that set things back when there is that constant change?
Well, I disagree, because I say the direction that the government's taking is a strong foundation of support based on pragmatic measures. And frankly, ministers come and go. The truth is what drives a government's agenda is the underlying policy settings, and they have been solid from day one of this administration.
Let's talk through some of those policies. You mentioned wild dog funding, and an extra $5 million for wild dog fences was announced months ago, but is yet to hit the ground. Are you concerned with the time being taken on that?
I am going to ensure that we get that grant money out the door before Christmas. At least that's the intention, although we have two wild dog commissioners, both of whom I spoke to last week about their perspectives. And I know that there is an independent committee there that's working with the allocations. I'm hopeful to make further announcements this week to give comfort to all concerned and to make sure that money is spent. After all, this is all about reinvigorating wool and sheep in western and southwestern Queensland particularly. We know this program works, and you can see the lambing rate figures that are out there just demonstrating what happens when you pull the wild dog issues out of the equation.
So you're convinced that wild dog fences do work? Can I hold you to the fact of further announcements this week?
Well, you can, yes.
Bill Byrne, my guest on the Country Hour today. Now, rural economic development has been added to your portfolio. Just what will that involve?
It gives me a very broad remit, or I suppose one that I'm just thrilled to bits about, because it'll give me the chance to represent at the cabinet level on-ground feedback about proposals that will ultimately feed into growth and jobs.
You talk about growth and development, but your government has made it clear that although its tree clearing legislation was defeated in Parliament, it will become an election issue. Do you support the government's stance for tighter clearing laws that were so widely opposed by those in the agricultural sector and opposed because they would stop growth in agriculture?
Well, look, I think that the sentiment of the Queensland Parliament pretty much sets a reset on that. I'm willing to listen to all stakeholders in this arrangement and see what needs to be done in order to get a collaborated result out of where we're going to head with vegetation management.
So does that mean that you don't support the laws that your government took to the House?
As you'd notice, Craig, I voted with the government in that proposal, which was defeated. Those in industry know that I have always argued for a middle ground, I suppose, in going forward, and I think that we'll be able to sit down and restart that conversation about how we're going to manage some of the issues that are flagged as policy settings around vegetation management. Now, I think that there's an opportunity at this point for a sensible discussion about how we're going to move these things forward.
How do you rebuild that consultation, given the rhetoric of your government was seen to demonise farmers?
Well, those are industry leaders know my sentiments. I've been able to have, and I think that's one of the reasons why some of the industry leaders have welcomed my return. I'm more than happy to have honest and frank discussions with people, understanding what the real challenges and real limitations are. There's no point in having discussions about the future that aren't frank and fearless in their nature, and in some ways private. But as I've said, I'm always willing to listen to what we can do to take those representations forward. And I intend to do that. And I intend to have that discussion with industry leaders, particularly Agforce and QFF, because if you end up in this adversarial circumstance, what will happen is that you'll further marginalise the sectors that really count. You'll end up playing the ebb and flow of the political cycle. What we want to do, and what I want to do, is land a long-term strategic position for this where everybody can live within the metrics of that.
Did the government get it wrong then?
Now, Craig, I'm not going to be talking about the past. I'm the new Ag Minister. People know my views about how we should move forward. No one should interpret my comments that I'm sort of some climate change denier or that I don't think we need to do something about catchment management, particularly for the marine park, nor that I don't think that carbon is, you know, that I have a fundamental doubt about the fact that carbon is a major factor in climate change events. But I do think that there's a sophisticated model that we can take forward. I've always been in support of an emissions trading scheme at a national level in order to allow us to manage those climate change effects with a clear and evident, which all of the science in the world demonstrates. I don't think it should be adversarial because the whole point is that Queensland needs agriculture to be successful and growing. And we need to do that in a prudent and measured way, and one where there's no hidden agendas, and one that can be left in place regardless of the ebb and flow of the political cycle.